WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the crab cake season. You'll all be happy to know that I have promised this tour, and I'm going to deliver this tour. We're going all over the place. I'm setting up dates through June, through July. We're taking this week down. But when I come back, it's going to be rip-roaring with oysters. All brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have these instant lottery scratch-offs. We had some winners at the local up in Falston last week. I was the real winner because I had Clancy Haskett come by. We talked about Fancy Clancy. I left with this delicious cheesesteak egg roll thing that I enjoyed over the weekend. Delicious crab cake. Get up to the local. Support them. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. Going into June. Going to be hearing me talking about that as I'm out on the crab cake tour. And this guy sends me out with the coal roofing coffee mug with the Royal Farms poured directly in it. That has powered us up. Dude, sports is alive. Like we did a plague where you and I talked about masks and social issues and Trump this and Biden that and Brandon Scott this and Wes Moore that and Larry Hogan this and all that. I have found myself. And Chad Steele will be really heartened by this, that I really am a sports guy at heart. I have found myself just in this last couple of weeks for a little while, other than being at the Preakness and, you know, running into politicians and seeing business leaders and that sort of thing, that even when I'm with business leaders now, they're talking sports with me again. I guess we talked a couple of weeks ago, Bill Cole, about the circle of sports sort of coming back and when it would be significant again, and whether it's lacrosse or whether it's the NBA or the NHL this time of year. The Preakness was 2 weeks ago, but the Orioles and the heartbeat of me bringing food home and my wife saying, let's go watch the game. Been a little while since that happened, Bill.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it seems pretty good. Like watched a lot of lacrosse over the weekend. That was fun. You know, I don't watch lacrosse on TV until Memorial Day weekend.
Notre Dame? What? Come on with that.
Anybody but Duke. Anybody but Duke, right? Come on.
Well, if you're right, you still got the chance to hate them. Across all sports.
Right. So I think we're usually somewhere at a youth soccer tournament over Memorial Day weekend too. So, and we didn't magically have one of them. So we found ourselves with a 3-day weekend and no real plans. So, yeah, I mean, I watched two semifinal games. I watched the championship. I watched the women's championship on Sunday. You could live stream the club girls lacrosse where, like, you know, the 7th and 8th graders are playing for a national championship down in Cary, North Carolina, the same place that the women's were playing their championship. It was, you know, I imagine that lacrosse doesn't have the same fervor that it does here elsewhere, which is fine, but.
Well, after COVID, it's come roaring back. Youth sports, right? I mean,
yeah. I just
if I had a 14-year-old kid or a grandkid, you know, like that's what if they were in the sports, it would be a serious endeavor or not at all, really, right? There's the notion you go up the street and play ball anymore. That's not really the way it is, right? It's way more organized than I would recognize it.
Yeah, I just like lacrosse or all of them. They've gotten to a point now where they understand this concept of like. Very quickly telling me a story about a handful of players in hopes that, you know, now I have a rooting interest. And, you know, if the stars align, those players do something magical, which makes this deeper connection point. And I continue to watch throughout the game, whether it's a blowout or not. And they all get that, right? That
there's a storyline. The it's not right, just a game. It's a storyline, right?
Correct.
Otherwise, so, why would I watch these horses run around at the Derby if I didn't meet the connections?
Right.
They even have a name for it, connections. Because the horses don't talk, you know, so.
Right. Well, we don't know that they
do. Yeah. Do the cars in F1, right?
Right. So, there's a freshman at Duke and the brothers at Notre Dame. And, you know, I mean, you get enough of it, right? Like, they understand how to produce it now. It's so much better. And
so it doesn't need to be Maryland or Loyola for and the other part of it. There's always local kids in the in
100%.
So there's always a kid from Delaney in the finals. Always.
You're sitting there watching it and I'm pulling up on my phone the rosters to see who's from where.
Who's from Long Island?
There's a Calvert Hall guy on Duke. Absolutely. They're all over the place. And that makes it fun too. And even with all that said, I did manage to mix in a couple innings of Orioles. So I've begun my 2023 Orioles season now. So
were you watching when Cedric Mullins pulled up and you're like, oh, things are allowed to go wrong? We're Orioles fans. Everything's gone wrong for 30 years. We can't have this go wrong. And you know, I was talking to Dennis this week and Luke as well. Just the fact that things went so well for them and now they're like, where's the bullpen? These are like conversations that built my career. They built my radio station in 1992 and 93. Why is Johnny Oates going to Williamson there when he could have had Froworth? Like, these kinds of debates that are baseball debates that I see all of these people catfighting on Twitter. It's hilarious because I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of a high level conversation about whether Aaron Hicks is a good signing for the Orioles or not. He's free. He's going to hit a .180 or whatever. He's going to run around for 2 weeks. But like to do that all day over at the Fan, I don't want to do that. But it is fascinating to see how vested and how quickly people can be vested in. Oh my God. What's going on with the bullpen? Wait till Cano starts giving up like runs. It's going to be crazy. But from a baseball perspective, these kinds of conversations we haven't had here in a, dare I say, a generation. I mean, the Buck Showalter era produced that, and Luke will talk about that. But I don't think the Delman Young double, if that's what you're hanging your hat on as a lifer Oriole fan, you ain't got much to hang your hat on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember, I guess, when was the playoffs? It was like
12 14 16.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So 12, so they did well. They should have beaten the Yankees. Markakis was hurt with the injury. 14 was the year they were really good. They went to Kansas City. They got beat. That was the Delman Young year. 16 was the year that Showalter left Britain down, still pulling the pine out of his butt at the Sky Dome, and they lost to the Blue Jays, just to give you a little refresher. And that was 16, which was 7 years ago,
right? And I'm assuming, I remember just taking my son to a playoff game at Oriole Park, and it rained, and we had like a 2-hour rain delay.
That was the Yankee game, right? Correct. That was the Yankee playoff in 12.
And I mean, he was a little dude, you know, he's 20 now. And like, that was the pinnacle of potentially grabbing.
He's
20
now, 12. That was 11 years ago. So he was nine. Does that sound right? Okay.
Yeah. And like, that was their opportunity to capture him, and they blew it. So he has not since, you know what I mean? Like, after that, you can be disappointed, but then there's this like grumblings and it pops back up on your radar. And
well, the one thing that I've said about the empty seats, and they've been selling more tickets. The one thing I said about the empty seats is the ownership has been so poor, and this family's done such an awful job in every measurable way. Like, if that offends people, then I'll Sinatra that. I send the record over. All I have to do, people say, why did you do Free the Birds? And I send them to 1998 through 2006, where they destroyed the franchise. It went from drawing 3.5 million people to 1.8 million. I was on the radio every day, living through the lies, the awfulness, the Peter principles, all of that. They've done an awful job at everything, literally every measurable way. They've done an awful job. And now they found a general manager. They were so bad. And they found a guy that can pick Adley Rutschman when he can pick all the other players, and he picks the best one. And then they have nurtured, they've created this system. But the one thing they didn't do from 12 to 16, and you pointed it out, you don't need me to point it out, I'm just reiterating that my opinion is a strong one and a well-founded one, that when they fell off the cliff, they didn't build their business. They didn't have any sponsors. They didn't get any of the people they offended back when Peter offended everybody in the 90s. Most of the people are gone or dead. Most of those banks are gone. There is no more Provident Bank or First National Bank or First Mariner, but they're all gone. The people that Crown Gasolines, I mean, the people that supported Oriole baseball and bought in, Leg Mason, like all of these Budweiser, all of these brands that bought into it, none of them came back in 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. And then they served baseball the last 6 years that was even awful by Peter's standards. I mean, Peter's eating pudding. Peter did. I mean, when Peter burned it down, he still signed David Segee and gave Jeff Conine money. So it really is amazing that what they have left is so passionate. Like Don Mohler, it's a family member. You can't offend the Orioles, like all of that. But they really are building from scratch, right? I mean, like when I see it, we haven't been back. My wife and I haven't bought a ticket. I went opening day, guy handed me a ticket, I walked in. I haven't given them any money this year. I've given them my time, my attention, which is more valuable than my money, quite frankly. This Sunday, they're playing a 4 o'clock game in San Francisco. I'm building my day around it, and you're invited. I'm having some crabs over at Costas for a 4 o'clock Orioles Giants game. I'm just going to sit down and order crabs on a Sunday with friends. We're going to watch the game while we eat crabs and drink beer. And I haven't done that in...
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, since my mother was alive, right? Like, literally, right? And these are all things that were taken away from us, Bill. And I guess that's my point, is it's coming back. But if your kid is 20 and didn't catch on, and they didn't capture him when they had 5 years where they really played good baseball, like, I'm convinced they didn't capture a lot of people. And then they bring out these jerseys and say it's about the city. And then I look at the games and it's still 99.8% Caucasian.
So there's a overarching theme that involves a lot of stuff. And I have this conversation with people a lot around, because so much of our lives now ends up being like this contested argument, right? Because of social media or politics or whatever, like, so
you have
much
to have a take, right?
And everyone like plants their flag and digs in, and you know, clearly knows more than everyone and has the right opinion always, right? Can't be wrong. So one of the things, and I want to just preface it with, I'm sure running the Orioles is a complicated business and there's a lot of stuff to it that I really could have no idea how hard it is to do that, right? But there was a lot of stuff that went on between the years that you were talking about, where if you didn't make a conscious decision to lean in, then you were by default like sort of hiding in the closet or behind the trees or whatever, right?
You ain't a real fan? Is that, that's...
No, I'm speaking more to like public safety issues and Freddie Gray and like all this stuff that was going on that didn't have to do with baseball, didn't have to do with the players on the field.
But it affected everything about their business.
It did. And again,
they made bad decisions.
Well,
like playing a game with no one there. I mean,
I also
like
think
just an awful decision. And then they go get Kevin Cowherd to write some book about how it was a great decision. It was it was awful. I live downtown. It was, all of it was awful. It was so awful. We try not to talk about it.
Right. And I just, again, I don't want to, you know, belittle the idea that it's complicated and there's a lot of things that are sort of affecting a decision. But at that point in time, the city was looking for leaders and leadership and a direction and people to help us through difficult times. And that organization, for as long as they were the owner of everyone's hearts growing up, was nowhere to be found in those discussions in that time of a void of leadership.
By the way, neither was Bisciotti, other than sending a video up saying Black Lives Matter, you know, being what, like, there were no, I tell you what, the Ravens though, Ray Lewis came in and put feet on the street. I mean, I'm talking about like the Ravens did things as players did things. I saw it, dude. I saw people trying to,
I always try and
years, but trying to keep the peace. Literally, when I say keep the peace, I lived in the city and was told by people I shouldn't go home. Like, keep the peace was to your point, leadership at that point, people did step up. There were people that stepped up.
And again, I can't say it enough times. I don't know everything. I don't have like crystal clear, like tracking on people or conversations that went on in the background or, you know, influence or decisions that were made that are not public knowledge. So we don't know any of that. I just know that the city needed leadership. We needed strong, influential people to stand up and help show us the way. And there just wasn't really much of anything. And you can survive, like it's almost the decision to not participate by not making a decision, right? Like, if you just don't make a decision, you're still making a decision. You're making
a decision.
That's a
Neil Peart song, by the way. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
Correct.
Okay.
So I look back, and that is ultimately, I don't know if it ends up being a lost decade or a lost, 5 years, a lost 7 years, whatever, but there was a golden opportunity there, where everybody knows what the Orioles are, and to try and compassionately recognize that you're just a baseball team, but that you have the best interest of all the citizens and all your stakeholders, and they're all your customers, and we just really want to help everybody, and let's get
that's
some
not who they are together. Though come on, I mean,
that's fine,
that's just that's the Orioles of Bill Cole and Nestor Onum, you know what I mean? Like, come on, that's not who these people have ever been. I mean, it's who they feign they were in 1993. I mean, I've gone back, and again, I've re-released the Peter Principles. The initial promise was a local guy's buying the team, and everything's going to be made in the best interest of local. We're not a branch town. Like, so, I mean,
I get it.
It's a broken trust from the beginning. It's, you know what I mean? And they're not a front-facing organization. The kid's running it now, and his idea of PR is to hold a press conference on Martin Luther King Day to hide behind race, to not have questions about his team, and then pop out uniforms that Nike pop out to get a local African-American poet to write something about the team in the city that has no correlation to clipping wings or anything. The truth is, having lived here and seen what the baseball team's done and hasn't done, and now they're winning again. And I guess my point, they've always said, when we win, we'll come back and winning. There was an arrogance about Peter that once we win, you'll all be calling me for playoff tickets, right? And now they're winning, and there's plenty of seats out there, and I still think it's a little overpriced by my taste. Jen and I looked at tickets on Friday night to go down for the Grayson Rodriguez. It would have been an awful night, but like, we were around, and and she's like, how much would it really cost? And I got on the StubHub. It was $57 for two tickets in the outfield. Like, it wasn't a movie ticket. It wasn't it's 12 bucks. Yeah, right. It's 12 bucks, and we'll go down. Right. 25 right. bucks, we get in. We'll just walk around and have a beer for 16 bucks. Like, I was willing to give the Angelos family some money, just not 60 bucks on a Friday night. 60 right. bucks, I'll get down to Amici's and have dinner and watch the game on TV. Right. I mean, literally. I mean, like, I'm just being pragmatic that I've seen Seal three times. At $200 a ticket, I'm not in. At 60 right. bucks, I'm in. And right. that's the same for John Mellencamp on Friday night. It's the same for Kansas on Saturday night at the Lyric. It's a price point issue. There's a Taylor Swift. I would go see Taylor Swift for 200 bucks, maybe 300 bucks, 800 bucks. I'm out on Taylor Swift, and I want to see Taylor Swift. But,
gotcha.
So, but the Orioles, what you're going to go, right? You haven't been to a game yet. Like, I am. My life because of sports. Like, we were sports guys, and now all of a sudden it feels really relevant again to me, and that I'm in a good space where everybody wants to talk to me about it. I put one status on my Facebook about the Orioles. People go nuts. People are really watching the games again, and they want something that's been missing. They want that feeling that of their mom, beer, crabs, Chuck Thompson, whatever it is, I'm searching for it as an aparicio. I'm here because of the baseball team. I exist because of the baseball team.
No, I totally agree with that. And I'm close. Yeah, I actually almost was going today, but couldn't because of kid sports. But I guess where I go back to on that leadership is, there's a whole bunch of people in the economist, city correcting, like stuff we've talked about in the past, who talk about the mistakes made around stadium building and
transportation,
that,
the whole
like,
book on that.
Every city thinks that it's going to save the day if they just build the stadium, and it's going to improve everything. And you listen to these guys, and the data is just not there. Like, I think there's more to it than just maybe the data they're able to collect. But
after 31 years, I'm going to call it bullshit. I mean, I'm just going to, like, when I see, like, because what Oakland's going through with Las Vegas right now, trying to justify all that and economic this, and Nevada's going to build that, and it's going to be worth this. And then they get my buddy JT the Brick to, like, put stuff out on Twitter because the Raiders say, oh my God, we've had enormous impact, even though we haven't won. Look at all the money we've generated. I don't buy a word of that. I mean, I'm a guy that was going to run for office against stuff like that because, like, that the whole notion that Camden Yards redid downtown, it didn't do what it was supposed to do because of poor ownership. It would have done that, but the Nationals wouldn't have existed. There's a million things that could have gone a different direction, but it was all about Peter making as much money as Peter could make every minute. And I don't think any of us saw that when he bought it, and none of us saw that when we built it.
Yeah, and I think that's, I guess, maybe what I'm trying to advocate for is this idea that in addition to the hundreds of millions of dollars in stadium renovations or whatever we do as a municipality, like this agreement between those businesses and those owners that now they, whether they want to or not, are a pillar of the community and a stakeholder and have to speak and have to help provide the proper leadership when it's needed and ongoing throughout the entire time. Like that should be some kind of trade-off barometer thing of like
a civic trust.
Yeah. You want it? We're going to give you $600 million. Like, hey, why don't you come down here and be a nice guy and like help us to, you know, do this.
How about you just answer questions honestly and not ban media members you don't like and try to drag them? How about that?
I just don't understand. Like, it's one thing for capitalism and for that to be what it is and for an owner to drive profitability and like they have a responsibility to their shareholders and all that stuff. But the minute you start taking public funds, right, and your fan base, your customer is this large geographically centric group of people. I don't know, man. Like, I think that's where a lot of the rub comes from. That's where a lot of the frustration is. So when you win or lose, if you're there and you're present and you're doing good stuff and the Ravens have done this for a long time, win or lose, you see them in the community, you see them doing good work, you see their superstars, not just the 53rd guy on the roster, right? You see their superstars out in public doing good work, trying to help.
By the way,
Mullins
and Mountcastle, or was it Henderson? No, it was Henderson. Henderson and Mullins were in Patterson Park last Saturday morning taking pictures with people. Bill, my buddy Ed Lauer was there and took a picture, and I knew they were there. I was at Chaucer having breakfast in Highlandtown, and we were on a schedule. We had a thing we had to do on Saturday, and so we had to kind of like be out, but I was going to go, and people went, and I saw pictures on Facebook, and it looked to me for a minute, because they were posing the same way, it looked like one of those hologram things. You know what I mean? Right. Like it looked like, because they were in uniform. They had their Baltimore thing, and I'm like, they're not really in Patterson. They're playing at 4 o'clock. You know, like, why would they be in Patterson Park at 11:30? Like, but they were really there. I don't want to be a dick. They've never been there before. Not those two humans, but the team. Right. They've never done anything like that. It's so like, I go back to Rick Dempsey and Billy Smith and Tippy Martinez and meeting them, Scott McGregor, Mike Flanagan, met them at the games at East Point Mall on Saturday afternoon. Games must've paid them $500 to come over. Luskins would pay Boog Powell $500 to come by and sign. I met Brooks Robinson in the Brooks Robinson store at Hoshel Cone. He signed third base is my home. I still have it. He signed it left-handed because Brooks was left-handed. Nobody knows that. Everybody knows that. But I met Brooks Robinson enough to know that he signed autographs left-handed by the time I was 7 years old.
Right.
And you wonder why I'm an Oriole fan, right?
So that's the stuff. And when it's missing and you combine it with losing.
And well, arrogance. Like, and yeah, arrogance, but not like just missing. It's not just missing, but it's an owner sitting up in a tree acting like a jerk for 30 years. Like literally to everybody on and off the field. I have never had a human being come up to me and say, You got Peter really wrong, unless they work for him and he funded them in some way. I've never met anybody that's come up to me and said, man, you really, I'll get you together with Pete. He's a good guy.
I don't know that I've heard that, but I think I do believe that they have participated and have done a lot philanthropically, and
they have a lot of money. They wrote checks.
I understand, and whether the participation level matches the wealth that they've been able to accrue with the Orioles and so on and so forth. I don't know, but the I will hear that.
Reputation they have is well earned. And it's well earned because the kid did what he did back on January 15th and saying, I'm going to open my books, and he had no intention of doing it. Like, I keep going back. Do you want me to pretend that didn't happen? It was 10 weeks ago. Like, at a press conference,
Somebody's doing the right stuff. Somebody's making right decisions now.
Mike Elias is. They're playing good baseball.
The fact that those two, but it's not just that, right? Like, I think I said a couple weeks ago that I saw like an Oriole van driving on the highway. Like, I haven't seen an Oriole van in forever. And you're telling me that there's two players hanging out in Patterson Park taking pictures with family. I mean, those are the right things.
They are.
So somebody over there is figuring out a way to navigate it and to do the right things. So that's a positive. Let's give them credit for that.
I'm giving them credit for all of it. I'm just saying, at what point are you and I going to give them money back and go back again? It wasn't today. I wanted to go with you today. Some point we're going to go. I'm already building the weekend around watching them play late at night on Saturday night. And I mean, I'm in. And one thing I'll say, and I haven't really talked to Luke much about this because Luke, they allow my Caucasian employee in. Imagine that. Don't allow me in. But Luke's down there, and I only know these players from television, right? And when they're losing 110 games, I'm not sitting there watching Rob Long ask Gunnar Henderson a question last year. Like, I'm just not. I don't know the sounds of their voices so much. I haven't heard Adley Rutschman speak that much. But when I see these post-game interviews now where Jim Palmer has to figure out how to speak Spanish to Anthony Santander, they seem like good guys. And I've covered a lot of sports, and I've been around a lot of players, and you can sort of sense the arrogance of certain players or their spirit and how they conduct themselves when they have a headset on and they're getting a pie in their face or whatever is going on. That's the only avenue I have. And I'm different than some people. I root for humans. I don't root for jerseys or statistics or skin color or color of the hat or name on the back. I sort of like good people. And I like everything you talked about at the beginning, which is like, oh, the brothers and Notre Dame and Duke and give me a side to root for or whatever. I feel the same way about all of that. And when it comes to the baseball players and the football players, it was very, very easy for me to root for Todd Heap. It was very, very easy for me to root for Peter Boulware. It was very, very easy for me to look at Terrell Suggs and say, but I could be a Raven fan and he could sack the quarterback and I'd say, good for our team. But, with the baseball team, I've watched it for a generation. Good guys, bad guys, arrogance, liars, louts, Rafael Palmeiro, like all of that, these seem like good humans. And there's a part for me that when I see these players at this point in their lives, none of them totally rich yet, none of them jaded, none of them won anything. A lot of them lost a lot. Like Cedric Mullins, John Means, these poor guys have been a part of a lot of bad baseball, right? Kicking Mountcastle. A couple of these guys have been here a little while. Hayes. And they all seem like good dudes. And that's something they should want a guy like me in there doing interviews with them and having them on Baltimore Positive, because it does feel like this isn't that I want to give them money. I want to give them time. I want to go back. I haven't made the leap yet, but I'm watching others do it. And I keep saying to everybody, really feels like the city's having fun with this. And that's all I ever wanted. That's why I fought with Peter. That's why I did Free the Birds. That's why I did all of it, was so that this could be great again. And it might be able to. I see this glimmer that it's getting good again. Now, what can make it great? And I'm rooting for him, Bill. I really am. I'm rooting for I'm rooting for the day where you and me and Dennis and Leonard all get together and go out and get a game in and sit and laugh and have a beer and don't care how much we're paying for it. And everybody around us is having fun. Like, that's the Baltimore
like
I
nobody,
want, you
but
know?
nobody even knows who they're playing today.
Well, they've done a really, they are poorly
No,
run.
but like,
They're
who are the,
poorly run. They really
who are
are.
the, no,
And they've been poorly run for a long time.
that was a bad delivery of a joke. Like, who are the Guardians? Like, who is that? I don't even know who that is.
Somebody
And
told me this week that they saw they were playing the Guardians, and they're like, did Oklahoma City get a team, or like, did they
hey,
play
I have
Nashville?
no
Like, what?
idea. But and that's like I can appreciate what went on, but like it's so baseball is so it competes. There's so much noise, and you don't even know. Like if the a baseball team changed their name in 1995, like everyone would know that.
But listen,
Everyone.
the Devil Rays are no longer the Devil Rays. The Florida Marlins are the Miami Marlins. Like, there have been the Phoenix Cardinals became the Arizona. Like, there have been name changes, all sorts of things. Baseball, the one thing that baseball has right now that's massive, and don't think that John Boy's not watching this, right? Don't think that he's not. That the Oakland A's are slinking out of Oakland. It's the first time a franchise has moved in baseball. Since 1973, 72, 73, right? Like when the Senators left, 71, 72. So, like,
I'm just saying that there's so much competition for our attention span, and you know, when the team loses, then it doesn't show up on people's Facebook feeds or their Instagram or whatever, and then and all of a sudden that it's the same death loop that the politics is, you know, like your feed becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy of all the people who are saying
what
the
you put in
stuff
is
you
what you get
already
out.
believe.
Yeah,
Exactly, right.
yeah.
So and baseball now has to compete with all these other things that I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, again, I was never a super lover of baseball, the game by itself. It's just too slow for me.
Well, they fixed that.
They did, allegedly. I still think it's going to be too boring for me. Like it is not okay to play a sport where you go out into right field and you play an entire game and get no action, right? And you get like three at
You're
bats,
speaking like a parent that's had to
and
sell this to your kids, like literally, right?
it's just, you
I
know, look,
remember how much I loved baseball, and I dated this Swedish girl back in like 1999, 2000, and I took her to Yankee Stadium. They're playing the Red Sox, Pedro's, the whole deal. We're there, and there's all this energy. And I just, for the first time in my life, I looked at the game through her eyes and thought, why aren't we doing something else? We're in New York.
No, like don't misunderstand. I
Like
mean,
trying to learn it though. I'm, you know, trying to
I get
teach
it. It's very
somebody if they don't
complicated, right?
understand it and they don't care to understand it. And I'm wondering, with all of the posturing that John has done with the African American community in Baltimore, and try, I wonder how many 12-year-old young people in our community even know the rules of baseball, even though three strikes, four balls, nine innings, like what a ball, what a strike is, what an out is, these words that didn't mean anything to my Swedish girlfriend 25 years ago, because she's like, ball, what's ball? That's a ball. What's a ball? Ball, the strike. Somebody hit somebody, you struck somebody. What? So, like, just the words and the terminology to get ramped up. We just assume everybody play baseball. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know if you walk up to a 15-year-old kid that they really even know the rules, or
I'm not
and then if they
sure.
don't know the rules at 15, that you could teach them quickly.
Right. No, you definitely can't do that because, like, I have done a poor job as a father of explaining baseball to my daughters.
Your
Like, they have
daughters don't know
no
the
idea.
rules.
They have no idea. They have no, I mean,
Really?
they
So I am right.
understand.
I am right.
No, they understand enough to be able to play. Like
If I
three
took them
strikes,
to the
you're
game, they
out.
would know there are nine players. They would know that's right field, that's left field. They would know
No.
those things are called innings. They would know that four balls get you first base. They wouldn't know any of that.
Oh,
They know you
it's...
run to first base. They know that.
yes, they know
I'm
that.
trying
They
to
know
think
three
T-ball.
strikes, you're
Literally, I'm
out.
thinking, like, if I went to a game with, great example, Niels, the guy that saved my wife's life is German. He loves sports. He watches basketball. He loves the American football. He really understands the NFL. He knows that's a tight end. That's a safety. He knows what a 3-4 defense is. He knows football. And he speaks English better than most people in Dundalk do. But he doesn't understand anything about baseball. Nothing. I took him to Dodger Stadium, and I had this conversation with him. We're out on the field at Dodger Stadium taking pictures with Janet Marie the day Trump got elected back in 16. I took a German man who loves sports, and I literally don't even know where I would start if I took him to a baseball game to try to teach him baseball.
Well, look, baseball – so I think football is a very complicated sport too. And, you know, my girls kind of get football, right? Like, they totally understand
four plays, 10
the
yards,
four downs, the 10
okay.
yards.
Right. Okay.
You know, they get a little confused around why we're kicking, or, you know, was that a field goal? Was that a punt? Like, you know, that there's some kicking game stuff that they, you don't see it a lot, so they don't know, but they definitely know that better than baseball. But like baseball, but football, you can line up and watch. And like this group is going that way, and that group is trying to stop them, and now that group's trying to go that way, and this group's trying to stop.
Well, there's also when the play's over, there's a minute to say what happened.
Yeah,
like sure. I tried to teach my wife football when I met her, and I mean she knew football, but she didn't really like she right. wanted to know more, and right. I taught her watching Monday Night Football with right. stopping and starting and right. saying they're gonna run. You see the front line guys, they pull. Oh, I never looked at that before.
Right.
You know, so, and I thought the edge matchup and those kinds of shows were always great at being, at teaching the game.
Right.
The Orioles, they're arrogant enough to just believe you roll to the stadium and you know what's going on. There's not a teaching part of going to a game where if the guy next to you isn't teaching you, and if he's teaching you wrong, it does. My dad and I used to do that, go to the ballpark, and we'd hear people telling their kids wrong stuff about baseball. My dad was like an umpire and a man, you know, like, so right. It was like, no, don't tell them that. No, you're giving them bad information. But I don't know how many people.
Well, we know,
right?
Right. We know they don't keep the score in the scorebook no more. We know
right.
that. So
right.
That's really interesting, Ness. That
was the one way you could learn the game really well, was keeping score.
It was. But it's interesting.
So your daughters can't get into the Orioles because they don't even understand how they would have to learn the game, just other than being an idiot out there with an orange hat yelling, right, when there's a home run. But like really learning the game, there would be an investment needed to be made by your teenage daughters.
Yeah, there that you know, there's only so much room in your brain for stuff. That I don't believe that's ever gonna happen. I mean,
understood. I'm never gonna listen to K-pop.
Right. It's just, you know, it's fine. Look, women's lacrosse is hard enough. If they can learn, if they can learn those rules, then that might fill their brains. I don't know.
Oh, you know, you just stole my whole theory, right?
That
you're either lacrosse or baseball. Immersive in Baltimore, you either play one or the other. And if you play one, you can play lacrosse all day. To your point, learning the rules of baseball and sitting around and watching Gunnar Anderson at night isn't all that appealing to your daughter. She's more into Taylor Swift.
But the problem was, and this, the little of the rules that my kids understand is because not a lot, but there is this little bit of hope. Hope's the wrong word, but like kickball is baseball, right? Like, wiffle ball and like softball and like there are these instances where that game still pops up in school, you know, gym class, recess. So you have to, you know, that's why they understand to run to first base. That's why they understand three strikes. You know, there's probably not balls in kickball or whatever, you know. So that still does kind of like pop up. And that will always happen because what do I need? One ball, right? One ball and a little bit of space. Lacrosse is not a recess sport, right? Like, there is no way to replicate that at recess. Ice hockey, not a recess sport. Basketball, recess sport, right? Football, recess sport. Like, there's something to the longevity of those sports that when you can simply, I mean, the problem with
Roll the
baseball
ball out
was,
and play.
yeah, I mean,
Literally,
the
roll the
problem with the
ball out and play.
baseball is you need a bunch of people. Like basketball, you need two of you,
Baseball, we play
right.
pitcher's handout, the whole deal. We had to make up rules. We had to put a box against the wall with a rubber. I mean, we playing
Sure.
baseball was a
Yes.
it was an effort in my neighborhood, but it was an effort. We all loved baseball,
Oh,
loved baseball.
we spent an entire summer playing wiffle ball. We built a backstop and then kept our stats on the backstop
Course you
of
did.
home runs and
Okay. And I can't get you to the friggin' Oriole game
strikeouts
today because your daughters don't understand baseball.
in
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing, Gordy Energy. Tell everybody about the roofing industry. Are we catching up to like parts and money and we still
ball. Yeah, I
budget?
mean it's I would consider it relatively stable, we haven't seen any pricing pullback, but the increases have definitely slowed down and stopped. The lead times have pulled in, maybe not the way they used to be, but probably more like everybody loves that term, the new normal, whatever. So I'm sure that's probably what it is. Definitely looking at a lot of stuff, still a lot of activity. I think like now's a really good time to like start thinking about what sort of maintenance slash, life extending work can be done, this fall that will get you through winter and maybe, buy you another 4 or 5 years on your roof. I mean, there are products out there now that can do that. So that's always a good thing that we look to push. And solar is just completely going gangbusters. I mean,
I
it's
love to
kind
hear
of
that. I love to
like,
hear that. That's good for
well,
everybody.
it's really interesting. I tried and explained to somebody the other day. They saw what they described as a fairly negative article in the Wall Street Journal about solar. And I was like, yeah, okay, negative article challenging some of the assumptions. And it's like, look, man, if there's an article in the Wall Street Journal every 2 or 3 weeks about solar, then it's a real business and a real industry. If we're arguing over, where the right place to
Or
put
your
it is,
politics
or
on it, or yeah.
what the right credits are, or how we should structure this, or how we should structure that. If we've got, the national conscience trying to navigate that stuff, then it's like, that's really actually great. I mean, yeah, we should be having those discussions, right? Like we're trying to adopt
You know the
something
naysayers are
new.
going to come. They've been there from the beginning. That's why it's taken so
And
long.
look, the naysayers are as important to the process as the people who are over the hills for solar, right? Because if nobody pushes back, then we'll make mistakes. We'll put it in bad places. We'll use bad products. We'll just be chasing this dream, and nobody will keep the guardrails on. So there's a place for all of that to actually find. That's what I love about America. Not to really go crazy on you here, but
Bait.
like, yeah, arguing that, for as far left as people are, as far right as they are, none of that really gets to work because we all have to come together and meet somewhere in the middle, which is really what keeps us from driving off the cliff in the end. Because either extreme and too much would cause chaos. So I don't have any problem with people challenging, the concept of solar because yeah, there have been some not smart solar deployments. There's been bad places to put it. The wrong type of products. Just people trying to chase the right stuff, right? But without guardrails, it just gets wonky. So I think it's
Like
healthy
the
debate.
NIL in college sports.
Right. I think it's a healthy debate. And yeah, I mean, that's what we love to really have with everyone is we're still at this point where people are buying it for the first time. So it should be a really good conversation. You really need to get educated. You really need to understand it to be able to buy it because it's like buying your first house, right? You don't just decide one day to go do it. You've done a lot of investigation, you've saved some money, you figure out interest rates, you figure out where you want to live, you figure out all these things, and then you go do it. So it's good stuff. It's fun.
My coffee cup is empty. Royal Farms, I got to go get a refill in my Cole Roofing mug. Bill Cole is here. You can find him out on the front of Baltimore Positive. some point you'll find the Memorial game with me teaching me the rules. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out and about all throughout the community. We're giving these away. I'm going to get some updates on the sevens. I believe I'm going to get some fresh tickets by the time we get to June. Spirits West, Wilkins Avenue. We're coming to the Barstool Restaurant at Hollywood Casino on the 28th. We're going to be at Lexington Market at Fadley's on the 29th. We'll be at the Beaumont in Catonsville July 20th, and we're kicking off the 25th anniversary of WNST on August the 3rd. Costas Inn, we're going to be there all day on Thursday, the 3rd of August. And then on the 4th of August, we're going to be at Drug City. I'm going to be inviting people like you, Bill Cole, to come out and sit in and celebrate 25 years of WNST and of me at least paying the bills and getting it done. I can't say there's going to be 25 more years of this. That's up to whether Chad Steele allows me to do it or not. I say that in jest. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're checking them out as well. Big week around here. Orioles heading west. Crabs are in season. I'm putting the Crab Cake Tour together. We're going to be eating oysters all summer and continuing this little journey with Baltimore Orioles baseball and sports and relevance. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.